Hello and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you just joining, I'm Jeff Glenn. It's my pleasure. I'm a pastor here. And it's my pleasure to take you through the Bible here on Thursday, no matter what time you're tuning in. Today we are going to, we've actually finished up our series in looking at Jesus in the Old Testament. So there's just some things I've been kind of wrestling through, and I'll kind of share those over the next couple of weeks, and then maybe we'll jump back into a book or another little series. But today, you know, something that's kind of been on my heart, something I've been working through is, we all know this, but we have an enemy, right? The devil. And so, you know, he wanted to be worshipped as the Most High. He came against God, but he was cast out along with his followers. And, you know, those followers, I know we see them described in Scripture as the principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of the world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And they are currently in their death throes. They're creating increasing violence and upheaval in our world. And I think when we look at what's going on in our world today, right, we can look no further than that as the root cause for why would someone walk into a school, right, and commit murder against innocents or otherwise, you know, use deadly force against another human being, right, another image bearer of God. You know, why would someone advocate unashamedly for abortion or for other forms of promoting, you know, corrupting influence on the young? And so kind of all these things swirling around in our culture and our world today can lead some, you know, to question, which is kind of where I've been at, is what is this biblical response? And, you know, some might point, you know, to things that bring about this wickedness, you know, removal of God, you know, from our public institutions and school and taking the Bible out of school, or maybe it's the denigration and destruction of the family or the home as the place for the development of the child, or maybe it's the destruction of the roles of parents in developing healthy children who grow up to be productive members of society. You know, but these are all tactics, right? The force behind it is pure malevolence. It is, in fact, you know, the devil. It's his intent to steal, kill, and destroy. And since he was cast out of heaven, his target has been the image bearers of God, his creation. And so Proverbs 1 speaks against the temptation of the wicked in this way, especially in verses 10 through 19. And so I'll read that here. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." And so it's this enticement that we're seeing much of today, right? This lying in wait for innocent blood, right? You know, from the drag queen story hours to abortion activism, like we talked about, or the taking of innocent lives, and so much more wickedness, right? It's really inspired by this desire to destroy the image bearers of God. And so it's the idea here, as Proverbs is saying, is that there is gain to be had, there's gain at hand, by plundering the innocent. We'll take from the innocent that which we don't have, right? This gain for self, or this notoriety from taking from the innocent, or taking from the innocent for yourself, because you lack the character to get it for yourself. You know, it's this swiftness to shed blood. The idea that that's the cure is to shed innocent blood. And so, you know, for the Christian, for anyone, it can seem maddening, right? Like what's going on? Like, as if the world is growing, you know, darker and darker and more evil. But for us, we want to take a moment and we want to hold this kind of thought and this kind of moment up to Scripture. The Apostle John wrote regarding this seeming advance of darkness in 1 John 2:8, and he wrote, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." And so we know that true light is Jesus Christ, and we know that he has already come, and we know that he's defeated death and sin and darkness and the devil. However, what's going on is what we see is as the darkness is passing away, it is in its death throes. And those are the violent movements and noises that are sometimes made by a person who is about to die, according to the Webster's Dictionary, right? So this moment of death has come, and the body makes these violent movements and sometimes noises in its last dying moments. So that's what I think we're seeing here. I'm convinced of it because we know, as the Apostle John assured us, that the darkness is passing away. So the darkness is not advancing, it's passing away. So we see this as we finish looking at Proverbs 1. And we actually see it all throughout Proverbs. King David had a heart for God, but he also had he noticed the wickedness in the world too. And so he wrote all throughout Proverbs about the wickedness that was present in the world, but the promise of what was to come. And we see that at the end of Proverbs 1, when it says here, how useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. So by their deeds and actions, they're actually sealing their own fate. And it goes on to say, they ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. And so, in another place, it says that you have your reward, right? So if you're after those kind of things, that's your reward. And so the eternal reward that belongs to believers is denied for those. And so how useless indeed are these ill-gotten gains? But, you know, it's real and it's dangerous for the innocent, you know, those who are naive to this, to the evil that's in our world, and who don't yet know their worth in Jesus. And so for us, we need to remind ourselves that we're not conformed to this world, right? The world that believes that if we can just be freed from the binding forces that hold us back from experiencing our true happiness and our true selves. No, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, agreeing with God in his world, in his word, that this world is fallen and it's cursed, and true freedom is found in Christ. And so joy is to be found in the Lord and knowing that he will return. And so that's where we should have our hope. And that's what we should meditate and pray on. And so, watching Coach Smith yesterday, he reminded us of our mission to love God, to love people, and to reach the world. And we do that as commissioned by the Lord Jesus to share the gospel and to teach people about him. And so, I'll leave you with Ephesians 5:15 through 16 that gives us a little more focus as well. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so hopefully that's encouraging to you and gives you pause to think, and have a great rest of your week.